877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
The writing is delicious.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
The writing is delicious.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be? It's right here, right now.
Rob S., if you please. Yes, Don G. Rob S. at opening, please. If you please.
And then we'll go to the sky. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Dixie Chick and all the ships at sea. And now two guys who just had a beer at the casino with that right-thinking John Daly.
There you go.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello. And thank you for listening. Coast to coast, still nationwide, Sylvia Vestwood, Von Darling, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. That's why every day we insist you refer to it as your cotton ticket Don and Mike show.
Time to open our can of spam.
Coming to you from the radio station that smells like spam gone bad.
Absolutely.
And exactly when do you know when your spam has gone bad?
You have to plunge your nose down deep into it.
Well, the radio station that stinks like no other, that would be radio station WJFK. I mean, it literally smells like oil and vinegar salad dressing again in this radio station.
If you go into one of the studios, it actually smells like crab cake, and that would be Charlie Boyhill.
That is the home station, JFK FM, Washington, D.C. General manager, not to be trusted, he's very reptilian.
Absolutely.
Ken Stevens is the GM, and his face is covered with hideous skin tags. Just ask his dentist. His dentist has to sit there and look at him, count the skin tags.
He told me. We were laughing about Ken's skin tags in the dentist chair.
Jeremy Coleman, the program director. He's Ken's number two, and we mean that. Big Daddy Mel rules the world from New York City and the Black Rock. Much love to Big Daddy Mel, and of course, our agent, Junior Soprano in Chicago. Those are the people that make the show possible every day. Word of advice now for Soccer Month. Please take sure to be the way to the back of the minivan. And look out. Look out, everybody. I've just whipped it out.
If I'm not mistaken, that looks striped.
It is the barber pole effect, Mike. I've mentioned that to you before.
That is, you actually do that yourself, don't you?
Well, it's a suntanning effect, but I take a piece of ribbon.
Oh, I understand.
And what I do is I wind it around.
I understand.
And then sit out in the side. And then I get a nice, big, fatty. You
that's
know, I
that's
get,
great, yeah.
I get aroused and stuff.
And then it, you know, then you let Mother Nature take its,
Yeah,
and it looks really nice. It's very Christmassy, too, even though we're not in the holiday season.
Oh, it's the barber pole look. Yeah, the candy cane look. And a perfectly executed opening to this big time major market radio show. 5 million listeners strong. Rob cannot do the show without the dinger.
Where is it?
Must have dinger.
Must have dinger. Me need and want dinger.
Need dinger.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have it. While we're waiting for that most valuable piece of information that's used maybe once a show, but I gotta have it.
Right.
Here is our friend to my left and to your right. You know him as Dancing Buzz.
Mm. Dancing Fool.
There is Siffy the Olsen Slayer. Thank you, Rob.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
There you go. Now we're kicking on all day.
Yeah. There it is. That actually relaxes all of us when you have that bell in here.
Mm-hmm. Relaxes. And centers us.
A little bell activity before the show relaxes and centers me.
And it's the 24th of September, and the toll-free number is 1-877-365-3636. Today's show is gigantic and jam-packed like most Friday shows are.
Huge!
So we're going to try to run a little bit closer to on schedule today, but you know what happens? Whenever I say that, we always end up, without fail, going an extra hour.
You never know what's going to happen.
Right. So, listen, I am so beat-ass tired.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I've had quite a day.
Really?
Got up at 5:30 this morning.
Okay.
Half hour earlier than normal.
Because
my kid needed to get up to do some extra studying for a test he had today. So he needed to be awakened at 5:30.
Tough.
So I got him up at 5:30 and he wanted to go to school early today because he had a preschool activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I got him up. Then I went out. Did my running in the dark.
Right.
Nearly got run over by the garbage truck this morning. Because when I go out and run when it's pitch dark.
You wear your Johnny Cash outfit, don't you?
Yeah, I don't wear reflective clothing or anything.
You wear all black. Let's tell the truth. You wear all black. You know, but why the ski mask in this weather? I don't understand that.
So I'm out to do the running. I come back home, sit down, have a cup of coffee with my wife. Next thing you know, boom, carpool.
Right.
Driving all the kids to carpool. Soon as I walk back in the door, immediately the phone rings. They say, hey, listen, You know that Redskins TV show on Channel 8?
Right.
Today's the day that you promised you would be on that show.
Is it Mark Mosley that hosts that show?
Yes, Mark Mosley and Glenn Harris.
You were on News Channel 8 today?
Well, it'll be on this weekend.
It was taped today.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when it'll be on, so I had to get cleaned up. I had to go to the cleaners to get the black shirt that I wore the appearance the other night.
You're fond of that shirt. You've got plenty of shirts that you look good in.
I love that shirt.
You're attached to it. Why do I say that? Because you wore it at the appearance, and then what did you do? You put it on sometime else. I remember you wore... No, you wore it out in L.A.
Yeah.
And then you wore it to the appearance.
And then I wore...
That's it.
And now I wore it for a third time in 1 week, because I'll be wearing it on TV tomorrow.
On the TV?
On the TV.
Did you wear it with a jacket, or did you just wear it?
No, I had a suit on.
Very nice.
But, you know, it's a shirt that, well, first off, I'm proud that I could fit into it, because I used to be a size 19 and a half now.
You're happy about your neck size.
And my neck size is now down to 16 and a half.
Right.
So I get into this shirt, and then I realize, though, it's not like wearing a pair of jeans where you have the size on the back. Nobody knows that it's a size 16 shirt, but...
Unless you wear it inside out.
Listen, I happen to think it's jive, but I happen to think it's probably the best shirt I've bought my whole life.
Nice. You say you do that show. Was Mark Mosley there, or were you pinch-hitting for Mark
Mosley? No, Mark Mosley was there. He's the co-host.
Oh, he's the co-host, so you were talking to Mark Mosley.
With Glenn Harris. Those two guys do the show.
Okay.
And then it's me sitting there...
Talking to them.
As the extra.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And I made them restart the tape. I don't mean I made them, but my antics made them restart the tape three times.
Oh, my God. What did you do?
Well, because they would sit down. You know, it's a sports show, right?
Right, and you know, you're not the traditional sports person.
So they would sit down, and they'd go through the whole opening. Hi, I'm Glenn Harris. I'm Mark Mosley. We're here with Don Geronimo from the Don and Mike Show from Redskins Radio Network.
Uh-huh.
And they says, well, before we start, let's look at the highlights from last week's win. And they go to the highlights of the Redskins versus the Giants, and nobody's told me that I'm not allowed to comment.
Oh.
And I'm watching as this is playing out on the screen.
And no one has told you that you're not allowed to do all of the commentary.
as the highlights are playing,
uh-huh.
He's just reading off the teleprompter, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, he's following very loosely a script.
Mm-hmm.
So I see coming up that we're going to see Kent Graham of the Giants throw an interception. Right? Because I'm reading ahead on the script. I see what's coming up next.
You're probably very excited at the way this is all playing out.
So Glenn Harris, who's the host, he says, Redskins had a big defensive stand in the first half. Here is Sean Barber picking off Kent Graham. And I said, don't you agree Kent Graham is a doofus? And everybody just... Shut and Glenn Harris, who's a wonderful guy,
right.
Says, wait, stop the tape, stop the tape. He says, wait a minute. He says, you're not supposed to talk now.
Really?
I said, nobody told me.
How long is the show?
30 minutes. But this was in the first...
So they do their just... It's kind of like a Redskins recap, right? Is that
it was just the opening segment.
Mark Mosley still have the permed hair?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay. All
but right. Mark Mosley is still a super big fan of this show.
He is a huge fan of this show.
As a matter of fact.
Right.
And he loved doing the fake showbiz thing with me when the TV camera was on.
Right.
Doing that thing where he said... Don and I have been close friends for... Well, how long have we been close friends for now?
That's good. Good for him.
Then I look at this. I don't know. How long have we been close friends, Mark?
It looks like he'd go out and kick field goals today, doesn't he?
No, he's a pretty man.
He's the guy that keeps himself in incredible condition. He's a very pretty man.
He's a pretty man. Then later in the show, we were into the second segment.
Right.
And I was there for all three segments.
Okay.
And once again, they were doing some stuff off the teleprompter.
You had to stop again?
Well, I said something in the middle of...
They stop you as soon as you say anything.
Well, what happened was this time he's reading, again, he says, second and 10 on the Giants 43-yard line, Brad Johnson goes back to back, and I said something. And what happens is when I said something, it made Glenn Harris lose his place. And then he started fumbling, and then he said, oh, F, 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 stop the effing tape. Stop the tape. They listen to me, he goes, man, can't do that.
I said, okay.
Oh, did he get pissed? No, he wasn't mad at me so much. He's mad that they lost his place in the tape. and then the third time, I didn't think it was my fault at all.
They stopped tape three times. Does this show strike you as the kind of show that they would ever stop tape at all on
no,
a regular
never.
Basis?
No, never. Probably the first three times they've ever had to stop.
I think you're to be congratulated for that. I think that's terrific.
Then the third time that they had to stop the tape was when they were going to a commercial break.
Right.
We were all done with doing a segment. And they're talking to me like I'm a regular sports guy and everything. I'm playing it straight, right?
Well, you can talk the football talk. Right. You always have been.
So they say, as we go to break, let's see what Irving Fryer had to say about last week's Redskins victory. And I'm looking at the monitor like a good boy. And I see the face on the screen. It's not Irvin Fryer. So I said,
oh, God.
Not realizing that my microphone was still on, I said, hey, fellas, you realize that looks like Marco Coleman to me. That's not Irvin Fryer. And all of a sudden I hear, cut, his microphone is open.
That's a troublemaker.
And they come out and they go,
troublemaker. Don, please.
They come out and they go, why'd you say that? I said, because that's not Irvin Fryer. That's Marco Coleman. They said, you know what? We can fix that in post-editing. But now, because you said that,
right,
we have to do the whole segment
over
again.
Well, you're a radio guy. You didn't know that.
I know, man.
For a news channel 8.
It was fun, though, man.
That's, you know, that's... And Mike, you know, Mark Mosley is a big fan of the show. So,
he is.
You know,
and the only...
Was he laughing about it a little bit?
He was having a great time.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
He was, you know, he was doing that thing where... Well, first of all, he's wearing a Super Bowl ring, of course. So he's flashing that in my face every second.
Doesn't he have a couple of them, I think?
Yeah, but he only had one on yesterday.
Okay.
One on today.
All right.
And he was doing that thing where he would, when I would do something, he'd just pat me on the arm. You know,
right.
Off
right.
camera, like, pat me on the arm, like, yeah, way to go. Way to shake him up. So it was very interesting. I invited Mark Mosley to come on the show and talk about his new hamburger stand.
Ah, very good. Does he have a new hamburger? Where is it?
I don't know. He's telling me he's opening it up. You know, Mark Mosley, this guy that was the kicker for the Redskins.
Yeah.
He has had more businesses.
Sure.
You know, he had his French fry stand.
Right, right.
Then he had his home spa stand.
Yep.
Then he had his travel business.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's making he's going into business in a hamburger stand. Not a hamburger stand, a restaurant.
Right. I drive by his house all the time.
And not to mention the fact, stalker.
No, his house is very close to where I play a lot of golf.
Ah.
And, you know, and I see the, out in his yard is the...
does he have goalposts in his yard?
Yeah, he did, because his kid...
You're kidding
at
me.
At one time...
Oh, that's right, his kid was a kicker.
Used to practice out there, and the goalposts are still there. So I'll stop the car and get out with my football and just try a few extra points.
He was telling me, now you may wonder how a guy who has been out of football for 10 years... How he still manages to live this lifestyle? Because Mark Mosley was, you know, dressed like Donald friggin' Trump today.
Right.
He was telling me, he said, hey, I got to get out of here after we do the show. Listen to this guy scheduled for this weekend. He was doing a motivational speech tonight.
Wow.
Okay, so he's getting paid some coin for that.
Right.
Then he had to drive tomorrow, Saturday, to Richmond, Virginia for a card signing.
Okay.
Then he had to come back to D.C. tomorrow afternoon to speak at a Hilton hotel to a bunch of executives.
Okay.
Then tomorrow night, he was going to another card signing show.
That's it. You got to hustle to make the
then
bucks.
Sunday morning, he was going to he's going to PSINet Stadium in Baltimore. Where he's going to be entertaining a bunch of people for like some telephone company.
Right.
At the Ravens game. And then Sunday night, he has to beat ass out of town to go do another motivational speaking thing.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty tidy weekend.
Yeah, right. And TSMB.
Take a few weeks off after that weekend.
Yeah. So he's doing okay. Should no crocodile tears for him.
Good. Very good.
He's doing absolutely okay.
He's a good guy. I've always liked him. You know, way back when, he was one of the early Redskins we had on the show, and he was one of the nice guys. We really liked him.
Now, they mentioned that on the TV show, that back in the day, he and Joe Theismann were the very first Redskins to appear on our show on a regular basis.
Back when everybody's hair was longer and maybe the lapels were wider.
Right. He's still dreamy. Mark Mosley.
Dreamy Mark.
He's a dreamy field goal kicker.
Very, very pretty man.
Good friend.
And also thanks to Glenn Harris, who's the host that has been in D.C. for a long time. So if you get a Channel 8, you know, I'll be on there sometime this weekend.
Okay.
Wearing apparently the only shirt that I own now.
Your favorite shirt.
The very famous black shirt.
Your favorite shirt with the 16 and a half neck.
Now, last night, I did watch all of the season openers.
Right.
I do have some comments about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to tell you that a couple of years ago, as recently as a couple of years ago, you guys would come in and we talk about Friends.
Right.
And I would always say, there are no friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that show.
Right. I remember.
Well, you know, I know I'm late on this bandwagon.
Sure.
I watch it all the time now. And
well, you started watching it last year, really, with a vengeance. You started.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I like it, and frankly, I think that maybe Ross and Rachel will stay married.
I'll tell you right now, you know what I like?
I really think they might.
What I like about that show, I don't even watch it as much as I used to, but what I like about it is when I do see it, they keep it fresh, and I think it's because they have so many cast members, they can write different plots for all of them, and that's what keeps the show fresh.
They made me laugh out loud last night with the opening credits. Did you see that? No, I tuned about five after.
You know, Courtney Cox got married to David Arquette this past week and changed her name to Courtney Cox Arquette. No hyphen.
He loves Cox.
The opening?
David Arquette. Did you know that, Buzz?
Yes, I heard
he
that.
He loves Cox. Right. He kisses Cox.
Uh-huh. Likes Cox on the beach, all Cox the in the restaurant, Cox anywhere that she goes. He likes Cox.
He loves Cox in the morning, Cox in the midday, Cox absolutely. In the afternoon.
You can't get enough of Cox.
Constantly kissing Cox.
Yes. I love it when Buzz joins the nasty one. But what about the credits, Buzz?
The opening credits last night, everyone's last name was Arquette. It was Matthew Perry Arquette.
The writing is delicious.
Lisa Kudrow Arquette.
He's obviously made an impression on, I don't know about that guy. Right now, I can't stand him. I cannot stand him.
I hate him. AT&T commercials.
He's supposed to be so goofy.
Right.
You know, he's just, and he started that by going on talk shows and acting goofy like that. And I just don't think he's all that funny.
And that was the only thing that was annoying me last night as we're watching this episode of Friends. Well, like I say, I've come full circle on this.
Right.
It's a damn funny show.
So you're prepared to say they are friends of yours now?
Yes, they are friends of mine.
All right.
Mike, they're good friends of mine.
Excellent. Probably better friends of yours now than they are mine because I don't watch the show as much and I don't know what the, you said that they're married.
Ross and Rachel
are married now?
When the season ended last year, they went to Vegas.
Oh, they got hitched in Vegas when they were drunk.
And then they found out that they were really married, and Ross was supposed to annul the marriage.
I saw that one.
But he didn't. Okay. No, this is the second part.
No, I saw the one from Vegas where they got married, where she had the mustache drawn on
her face.
That
was the season cliffhanger last year.
Oh, that was the end of the season last year.
So this was the second part of that last night, and Ross and Rachel, as the episode ended, they're still married.
It was a funny episode.
And Ross wants to stay married with Rachel.
Rachel doesn't want him, though.
And who can blame him?
Right.
I mean, look at her. Look at Jennifer Aniston. Look at her.
And she actually gets better looking as the years go by.
She has the greatest set of bosoms. I swear to God, Jennifer Aniston has the greatest cans.
They're marvelous.
In the world.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay an ungodly amount of money to see her topless.
I really would. They're making a tremendous amount of episode now. So, I mean, she might be out of that realm. But you can just, what you do have to do is you have to just hope and pray that she keeps her film work alive and that the role comes along where she will feel that nudity is appropriate.
I hope so. But that won't be until a few years after Friends has gone off the air.
Conceivably maybe a few years down the road, if things don't go according to plan. But I think she's got a very, very good movie career ahead of her.
She's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
I was commenting on that with Frieda. We were watching the show. I said, Jennifer Aniston's so hot. She said, will you just shut up? She said, who do you think you are, Brad Pitt? That's her boyfriend. And then I got to thinking about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, and I started getting bummed out thinking that the beautiful Jennifer Aniston is being wasted on the goofy-looking Brad Pitt. And then when I would focus on Courtney Cox, then, of course, the whole Arquette thing would come into play.
Sure.
And then I'd focus on Phoebe, and I'm sorry, but Phoebe has never done it for me.
Phoebe makes me laugh. I think Phoebe's hysterically
funny. But she's not hot. I think she's not.
The reason I think she's funny is because she's not totally unattractive. I mean, it's not like looking at Mimi on the Drew Carey show, But she is not certainly in the Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox range.
And she's kind of a dog face, and I don't mean that like ugly. I mean like her face to me really looks like a dog's face.
I think if she walked in here, I think you'd really be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
she's probably a lot better looking when you see her in person. I've seen her at like award shows where she can look pretty good. She can actually tweak it up a little bit. She's not as fat as I thought she was. And I actually,
I think she's anorexic looking.
Yeah, you always actually.
Phoebe, you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
For a while, I thought Phoebe had a little too much caboose, but then you actually see her and she's looking okay.
Yeah.
Smelly cat, smelly cat.
See, I used to hate that. And now I think that's the funniest bit I've ever heard in my life.
I
don't know what's wrong with me. I really don't.
I don't know why you didn't like Friends.
I don't either.
Well, I think your wife loved it. We loved it. And you just chose to make a, Custer's stand on that.
Hell, everybody in the whole world loved it.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I made a fist last night when I got home because my wife's on a new kick now. That we've always had as a family unit, the three of us, we've always had breakfast together every single day.
That's very good. It's very healthy.
And on the weekends, we eat all of our meals together. But generally, dinner time, I get home about 8:30, 8 o'clock, 8:15. My wife and my son have already eaten, so what I do is I take the plate out of the oven, the plate that's being warmed for me, and I bring it into my TV room, and generally I watch like a baseball game while I'm having dinner.
It's very sad, actually. Just, you know, anyone eating alone, I've always said, I think someone eating alone, no matter who they are, no matter what the circumstances, is always, and in a restaurant, if you see somebody eating alone, as I did actually yesterday, I ate alone at a restaurant, and I was sitting there, anytime you see somebody, and they're just like, especially if they don't have anything to read or anything to do, and they're just sitting there.
That is pathetic when you don't even have a magazine or something.
I was reading the menu over and over again. But you see somebody actually chewing, and even in your cave, I just envision that, you know, reaching in there.
It's actually very pleasant, because a lot of days when I get home, the last thing I want is for my wife to you know, I just need to decompress.
Right.
And my son generally is doing homework or on the telephone with his friends and stuff, so I'll say hi to them, and I get my plate, and I'll go, you know, see you in a half hour.
That's very cool.
But what's happened now, since my son has started high school now, he's in ninth grade, he's a freshman, mm-hmm. now his day lasts longer, his school day lasts longer, mm-hmm. which means my wife carpools later in the day to pick him up,
right.
which means now we have the time to have the family meal at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And like last night, I walked in the door, and my wife, I give her credit, Frida has the table is immaculately set up. I mean,
okay.
you know, a lot of times we eat basically like on paper plates and stuff.
Right.
But she's got real stuff out and place settings and everything. And I said, oh, great. That's great. She had grilled me a nice steak.
Mm-hmm.
I said, thank you. I picked up the plate. I started to walk out of the room. And she said, where are you going? And I said, honey, Friends, season premiere. Gotta be there. And she said, no, come sit down. I said, oh, okay. I understand. Family unity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all bring our plates into the cave.
Because you all like that show.
And my wife said, absolutely not. We are taping Friends, and we are going to sit down, and we're going to have a meal together.
It's what everybody says. I believe it's David Hyde Pierce that says that on the doo-dee-doo-dee.
Have a meal together. And that, the more you know.
Yeah.
I hate those goddamn announcements. I mean, listen, there's no family that has more togetherness than me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
So plus, last night, I think I'm tired today. I was tired last night after doing the appearance the night before. And
uh-huh.
So I was absolutely like a bump on a log, just sitting at the dinner table. My wife is just prattling on about her day and stuff. And my son, frankly, was not in the greatest of moods either.
Right.
So it was pretty much my son and I just sit there with our chins on our chest going, you know, chewing real loud and stuff. My wife's like, can you guys please eat with your mouths closed?
Close your mouths!
And we just wanted to watch Friends. So as soon as we both got done with dinner, like 8:15, we said, we're done. Can we be excused, please?
So you can catch the last bit of Friends live.
And my wife said, yes, that's fine. My two children can leave the table now.
Well, will this be a regular thing where you'll have the regular family dinners?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's 8 o'clock dinner time now every night.
Wow. Okay.
It's cut seriously to my Larry Sanders time, because that's when Larry Sanders is rerun on HBO.
Did you catch The Late Shift by any chance, though, last night? Remember that show, The Late Shift, about Leno and Letterman? Yeah, that was on. That was on again? Yeah, I love that show, man. I forgot how much fun that is, watching Kathy Bates as Helen Kushnick.
Oh, she's fantastic, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Dealing with Robert, is it Robert Smith, the chairman of GE, you know, who's like, Helen, we'd like you to say something about Johnny.
Robert Wright.
F Johnny. but Helen, you told me you had nothing to do with Johnny being fired.
Oh, and the guy, you know, it made me realize the guy that played Leno was so horrible, so awful. The guy that played Letterman did a credible job. Really.
And, you know, he's been in something else since that. I know we've discussed that on the show at some point. Did you watch Frasier last night?
No, I did not watch Frasier.
I really hate Frasier.
Why?
I don't...
Don, tell me.
I'm listening.
I'll tell you why.
No, why? There's no reason for you to dislike me.
Because I like everybody on Frasier, except for Frasier.
Is it my constant exposure to my hairy chest, Niles?
No, he didn't take his shirt off last night.
No. Is it the fact that I'm totally pompous and I drink sherry?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
That I'm really not that good? And it's just an aberration and apart from the norm that I'm actually a successful person on TV?
I don't know what it is, because I really enjoy everybody else on that show. I enjoy his brother.
Right.
I think the producer's good. His father is fantastic.
Well, and I suppose you like Eddie.
Oh, the dog?
The dog, Eddie. Well, good for you. Well, the show's name is Frasier. Starring me, Kelsey.
I know.
Frasier! I like the show. If you say you like me, I'll give you a Dodge Viper.
And they had Tom Hanks' wife playing his new girlfriend on the show. And you know, the only reason that she gets any work at all is the fact that she's Tom Hanks' old lady.
I will tell you also that I think that she's a good actress. I really do.
She was good.
I think she's a good actress. But there's something about her that just... I don't know why it makes me mad, because maybe it's the same thing. She's part of that Kate Capshaw, Tom Hanks' wife. We are so successful, and it just seems to me that maybe they could do a little stage work and leave some of those roles available for the actresses that need the money.
I think the only reason she got the job is because she's Tom Hanks' wife.
Of course.
Right. That's where it's the season.
Even though she's good. She was good in That Thing You Do as the Waitress. She had a little cameo part in that.
Yeah, nice push-up bra.
And she got a movie coming out soon. I'm not sure what it's called, but
it's that movie with Bruce Willis. She plays the best friend of Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yep, absolutely. Looks pretty good.
But again, all the roles that she gets, it's because she's Mrs. Tom Hanks.
And there are also two things about her, especially in That Thing You Do, that were pretty nice.
I think that's a push-up bra, Mike.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think really if they stood on their own, there wouldn't be a...
I bet Kathy Lee's are nicer looking than hers.
Oh,
really?
No.
I know that you're not a big fan of Kathy Lee's droopy boobs.
That would be a contest I would love to judge.
Rita Wilson versus Kathy Lee Gifford?
Yeah, who has the better breasts?
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with Rita Wilson on that one.
Yeah,
I really think. I don't think it's a push-up bra, because if you go back and look at That Thing You Do, she's wearing the bustier.
It was a cocktail waitress outfit she
wore. Yeah, maybe almost like that bunny outfit.
Yes, very similar to the Playboy bunny outfit.
I'm trying to think of other movies that she's been in. Which was the first movie she was in where she met Tom Hanks, which was that Joe versus the Volcano that she was in?
No, that was, what's her name in that?
Meg Ryan. Right,
that's her.
Right.
She was in Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, that's right, she was Arnold's wife in Jingle All the Way.
Now I can't stop thinking about her breasts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don, you said you wanted to see Jennifer topless.
Jennifer Aniston, more than anything in the world.
Go down to your local liquor store, pay $7.99 for High Society. They got some beach pictures of her in there.
Are they taken with a telescopic lens?
Yeah, grains the size of a BB.
Is she on the beach with her boyfriend, Brad Pitt?
Oh, probably. I didn't look that hard at him. I was looking at her.
So she's topless on the beach? Is it really her?
Yeah.
High Society, for my money, really one of the finest publications
out there. Amen.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, yeah, they just sit there, you look at them, and then you move on and buy the good ones.
All right, High Society. Robbie, get me High Society, please.
All right.
Get High Society on the line.
Stop shop, Robbie. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
You were talking about Jennifer Aniston?
Yes.
Check out about a year ago in Rolling Stone magazine. There's like a full page of her naked except for a pair of panties, and she's got her hands over the cans, baby.
I've got that episode.
Doesn't count.
I've got that issue, that episode of Rolling Stone.
That issue.
But Mike's absolutely right.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. I want to see everything.
That's a great photo.
I mean, you might as well be wearing a t-shirt if you've got your hands right here.
That's a great photo, though.
It would be a greater photo would be her with her hands tied behind her back.
Oh, I hear you.
Absolutely.
And her feet tied.
And no pasties.
It would be a great picture of Jennifer Aniston. Would be her on a bed with her arms tied to the headboard.
Oh, my. I didn't know that you had that kind of kink.
S&M.
I'm beginning to see a theme here. The mud fight and now this. I'm beginning to understand.
Well, some guys get off on that.
That's right. Maybe you do get off
on that. Oh, come on.
Sign me up, baby. And the next thing is, you'll want to be tied up.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air, sir.
Don and Mike.
Right.
How you doing? Radio God.
Hi there.
Every day. I would love to see Jennifer Aniston topless, but you know what would even be better?
What?
To see Rockhead going down on Jeremy.
Is this Sam Huff?
This is not Sam Huff.
This is the guy whose new thing is to say that about Rockhead.
Right.
And
Jeremy. He's such a wiener.
Who's that, Rockhead?
Yes, he's such a wiener, both of them. Rockhead, I call and he hangs up. Well, that's not good enough to talk about.
Can you slow your voice down? Hold on. Can you slow your voice down and just go, hi, Don and Mike, and make it a little lower? Just make it lower for us.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Okay, maybe not.
Not the Sam Huff guy.
No, I'm not the Sam Huff guy. No.
All right, this is the guy that thinks that.
This is the guy that's called and repeatedly said that.
We heard what you said. What you think that Rockhead should do to Jeremy.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey.
What?
Can you kick him for me? Both of them.
Okay, I'll be glad to.
Right in the chops.
I'll be glad to. Thank you.
Get rid of Rockhead. Bring her back.
All right, bye-bye.
Wow. Doesn't like Rockhead. Very angry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. I just heard on the radio, Kathy Lee just came down with a disease called furniture's disease.
Here comes a joke.
I'm going to stand by with the crickets. I want you to know something, that we have a policy on this show. No jokes.
That's not a joke.
So before you continue with the joke...
That is a lie. It's not a joke.
Before you continue with the joke, I will give you the opportunity to give us your telephone number off the air.
Her chest fell into her drawers.
That's the joke. He snuck it in there. He snuck it in before, and it was not a good joke.
That's pretty funny.
No.
I got a picture of John Riggins peeing on my car.
Well, everybody's got those pictures.
about anything common. What do you think? You
think that's going to be a collectible? Oh, my God. I got news for you, buddy.
I got a picture of John Riggins crapping on my car. What do you think of that? Hello.
I can tell you 20 or 30 places I've seen that man urinate.
Hello, John and Mike, yo.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, how you doing? I think I know the movie that Tom Hanks, he met his wife in. It was The Burbs. He actually, played his wife in it.
I think
the Burbs.
Right.
All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, appreciate it. Oh, you know what? I got one more wacky topic before we go to break, because we're going to try to keep it on schedule today.
Right.
Buzz, do you have the story about Stephen King?
Yes, I do.
Listen, have you heard this one?
No, I have not.
You tell me that Stephen King is not a freaking lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know what he did?
You have to be to write that stuff.
He bought the minivan that ran him over. And he's going to take a sledgehammer to it. He's going to go out in public and take a sledgehammer to it and beat the crap out of the minivan.
You know, does it make me a lunatic? Because I don't think that's crazy. I think that's actually...
That's so cuckoo.
If you have that much money, you know, and you could do it, is he going to make like a big party and stuff and invite people?
I heard when I was on the net today, uh-huh. I was on a news service, and it said Stephen King is going to have a public...
public execution of the car that ran him over.
Put the minivan in a public... the square somewhere.
That is so funny.
And he bought the van that ran him over.
That's hysterical.
Paid $1,500 for it. It's an 85 Dodge Caravan, and he says he plans to beat it severely with a sledgehammer.
Right.
It's too funny. So you can do it up in Maine?
I guess, probably.
Cool.
Yeah. No more details other than that.
That is too funny, man.
That's whacked out, man.
That is terrific. That really is.
And he says if he's still wearing his leg brace by Halloween, he's going to decorate it with jack-o'-lanterns.
Okay.
Spooky.
Alright, he's coping.
Yeah,
all right. It's a little nutty, that's all.
Right. Oh,
got to buy the minivan, got to take it out to a public place and beat it with a sledgehammer.
I hope it's public, and I hope they have videotape.
It reminds me of when radio stations used to have parties.
Right.
Remember when they were going to have Monday Night Football on TV?
Mm-hmm.
And you could pay a dollar, and you could, like, throw a brick at the TV to make Howard Cosell shut up?
Oh, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Radio Gurus.
Hello, my friend.
This is Jeff in Vegas, man. I want to say hello. And Don.
Yeah.
I know how you feel about Janine Garofalo.
I'm not proud of that, sir, but yes, I'm also... You know, it must sound of you...
I'm not proud of it either.
You're just a first-time listener today. You must think that I'm the horniest guy in the world, and guess what?
There you go. That's a winning answer.
That's right.
That's right.
That is your final answer.
I'm not as horny as you. I bet I am.
I bet you're not.
I bet I'm hornier than you.
I bet you I'm way hornier than you.
All right, let me ask you.
I did two women last night.
Well... I only did my wife last night, sir.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm happily married. I can only have sex.
Oh, that's right.
I can only have sex with my wife. How many times have you pleasured yourself today?
Twice.
All right, it's a tie.
Wow.
Okay, come on. Swear to God.
Twice today?
Swear to God.
Two times?
You know swear to God. Once?
My God, man, you're 41 years old.
Once when my wife left...
I feel better than yours.
You think what?
I bet you mine felt better than yours.
No way. Mine felt the best.
Felt better.
What did you think about?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Were you watching anything?
I already know what I thought about.
The first time, I was watching a movie.
Okay.
Pay-per-view.
Do you remember the title by any chance?
Truck Stop Beauties.
All right.
And the second time, I'll be honest, I was thinking about former Redskins place kicker Mark Mosley.
And how exciting it was.
But no, really, I did twice today. Once before I left the house.
That's weird.
Then when I got back home.
That's very,
to change my clothes to come back into work
today.
I'm
letting you know right now, I'm going to do it at least three more times or four more times.
Oh, you're such a liar.
Before midnight.
You're going to do it seven times in a day?
I've done it 8, 9, 10 times before.
I don't believe you for a minute.
No.
I'm
going to tell you something. I swear to God, I swear to Jesus Christ that I've done it twice today.
I know I've done it twice.
Can you make that same statement? Do you swear to God?
I swear to God I've done it twice.
All right, can I believe you?
I did two women last night.
All right, I believe
you. Two women? Mm-hmm. Two separate encounters, sir?
Oh, two separate encounters. Yeah. Like what? One left, and then the other came about 20 minutes late. I was like, ooh.
Did you have to pay for these women?
Oh, hell no. No. No.
Okay. All right.
I don't believe you for a minute.
I think I'm hornier, sir.
But you know what?
I want to tell you that Mike's looking pretty good to me right now.
Oh, God.
Wearing his pretty checkered shirt.
That is very scary.
Same kind of thing with Janine Garofalo.
What about Janine Garofalo?
Have you seen the previews of her new movie?
No.
Dog Part. That's what it's called.
Oh, I think I read something about that. That doesn't open today, does it?
No. They're just starting to preview it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of movies that open today. Oh, well, Stossel's coming in tonight. Right. We'll talk to Chuck Stossel.
He's hot, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. All right, Jeff, but I think you know what you have to do now.
What's that?
I think you know. Go do it.
Not right now. I got to eat lunch.
Oh, there, you just grossed me out. I bet it's a sandwich, too.
Not in my show. It's like a big ham sandwich.
You won't hold the mayo, though.
Hello. Hello there. Oops, Donna Mike Show. Hello, hi.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, the name of that movie actually is Volunteers. That Tom Hanks met his wife on.
Yep, that's right. That's
with his wife? Okay, all right, thank you.
Yep, sure.
Thank you, my friend. Okay, let's take one last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, the movie that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson met on was Volunteers.
Where did we hear that?
Well, Mike, we heard the last person that called say that.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Thank you.
You got it.
If it's three in a row, I'm going to kill myself. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
This is Jim from South Carolina. I wanted to tell you about Hootie and the Blowfish as a group appearing on the lecture tour circuit in San Diego State. Did you hear about it?
Poor Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish.
On the lecture circuit, what, they're going up and talking to classes now?
Yeah they're discussing careers and career possibilities in rock and roll.
Oh, that's so sad. When you think that just 4 or 5 years ago, those guys were on top of the friggin' world, man. I mean, the record...
Stones would never do that.
Their record sold 15 million copies.
Well, this is going to add to that. A grand total of 40 people showed up to their first one.
Oh, that's sad.
That is so sad. That's bad management, putting them in that situation.
That's sad.
That is really horrible.
I wish we would have known that when we had Darius Rucker on the show a couple of weeks ago. We could have busted his chops about that.
He got me!
You know, when he was on the show, one of the things we asked him was, when are you guys coming out with a new record? And his answer was very vague, like, hey, maybe sometime in the next year or so.
Yeah, right after we get off the lecture circuit.
Oh, my God.
That's not what rock and roll bands are supposed to do, no matter how, like, you know, white bread they are.
Oh, my God. Well, they've crashed and burned real fast. Poor Hootie.
That's too bad.
Not like you and me, Mike.
No, we have staying power.
Ever strong.
That's right. Forever.
Toe-tapping touch tones right there. You just heard them. Let's get a caller 100 going. You know, we have $500 on the line with the never-before-heard secret sound number 4.
Yesterday, you and Rob, were bragging about how difficult this sound is.
In case you missed it yesterday, a guy named Wayne Newton, no goof, his name is really Wayne Newton, from Ellicott City, Maryland, he won $700 when he identified secret sound number 3 as a VCR ejecting a tape.
That's what it was, and he added a good guess.
Now, number 4... I'm telling you, it is impossible.
Is it now, with it being impossible, is it like the other one that where when you finally know what it is, you'll go, oh, you knew exactly what it was?
No.
Oh, it doesn't fit into that category.
No, it doesn't. It's a tough one. Right? Here, I'll give you a free listen right now and everybody else listening. Here's your freebie. Secret sound number 4. Everyday sound. If you think you know it, well, even if you don't think you know it, call now. We'll take the 100th caller. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636. Why do you have such a quizzical look?
Because every time you play that, and I'll do this until we get a winner or I figure out what it was, I just start thinking about it. I'm playing all the different scenarios. You know, and I got to a laundry chute, and then I just bagged off of that.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Caller 100. Okay.
Okay, all right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. On CBS. It's the premiere of Chicago Bob Hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need my golf clubs. Stat. Wild. Yeah, wild. Yeah, look at this. I just got a needle stick and dust came out. Wow, yeah.
The best doctor at the best hospital. He's Chicago Bob Hope.
Hey, baby, we got a cold blue in here. Hey, come on. Oh, that's my toes. Yeah. Nurse, I can't get a pulse. Oh, that's my own wrist. Yeah.
Don't miss the season premiere of Chicago Bob Hope, Wednesdays on CBS.
Hello, I'm your doctor, Chicago Bob Hope. Oh, you say you like Bing Crosby? Oh, see if you get your f***ing medication.
Bitch.
Wild.
Providing you with over 10 years of radio and entertainment experience. Don and Mike.
Chicago Bob Hope. I'm your doctor, Chicago Bob Hope. Wild. Wild history. Wild nurse. Chicago Bob Hope.
Oh, it's number 100 times.
And I'm holding.
hoping that you boys will make that a regular series.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, all sorts of different occurrences, you know, different people guest starring.
Wacky happenstances for Dr. Bob Hope.
Oh, absolutely.
Chicago Bob Hope.
Yeah, wait till the building collapse.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Calling for the guest.
Pardon me?
On the sound?
You really have to, you know, this is the United States, and we require English to be the first language, and...
As has been documented on this show.
Absolutely. And the guy just hung up. He really...
He was going...
He just couldn't handle it. Too much pressure.
Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Am I enough time to guess what the sound was?
Am I enough time?
Am I in enough time?
Are you in enough time?
Still grammatically incorrect.
Oh, come on now.
Are you within the window to play the game?
Am I within the window of winning the sound of the day?
Nope. That's
come
still
on,
not...
my day.
No, why don't you just take a deep breath?
Start all over again.
Start the whole thing over again and try to express it, you know, as best you can. Because
okay.
I know it's very exciting when you're calling in to win.
Yes. Try it again.
I am as excited as can be. Did I call in enough time? Am I the 100th caller?
Yes.
Finally.
Yes, you are.
There you go.
Right. What is your name, sir?
My name's Rob.
Rob. Where are you from, Rob?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
Rob, caller 100. You won the Dave Letterman t-shirt, courtesy of CBS.
CBS.
Tune into CBS tonight for the season premiere of Now and Again on CBS.
That's great, man. That is wonderful.
The bestest network. Okay, now you ready for the secret sound?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I've got to play my theme song.
Who's the man with the money? The fella every day gives money away. Who's the guy with the pipes that'll light up your eyes? Never ending in a friend and
you ready, sir? Rob, Baltimore.
Yes, I am.
Here's a free listen for you. This one's not on the clock. Now, we are going to put you on the clock and play the sound for you one more time. We'll give you exactly 15 seconds. Please don't answer before Mike sings like Hank Hill. And if you give us the correct answer, you get $500. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Here we go.
Caller, name this noise.
Don't answer yet. We'll give you some time to think about it. Do you feel confident, sir?
Yes, I do.
Oh, he does. And do you miss Cal?
Yes, I do. Automatic door lock.
Oh, man. Yes.
On a car.
Run that by me one more time.
An automatic door lock on a car where you press the button, locks it or opens it.
You want to know something?
What?
Ah! Oh, you? Poker face, you?
Absolutely not.
You had a look on your face like you were shocked.
I thought you had it, too.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. Thank you, though, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. And best wishes to Cal from everybody in Baltimore.
Hey, great listening to you, too.
Thank you. You know, I'm going down to the shore this weekend, going down to the ocean for a little one-day trip tomorrow down to Ocean City.
Down there all the time.
All right. Yeah, just me and the wife and the boy. Fantastic. You better stop and get some of that English and fried chicken. We're going to get some candy kitchen salt water taffy.
Right.
You know, pretty soon, crab season's going to be long gone.
Crab's only new saltwater taffy.
What? What was
and
that?
And Cal. Man, you have to have Cal.
And Cal. I think we ought to invite you in here, and you can be a regular part of the show.
There you go.
It's Rob from Baltimore, hon. And I told you that lady at the Fort McHenry Tunnel the other night when I was lost coming out of Baltimore.
Sure.
I pull up to this tunnel. I have no idea where I am. I say, hey, how do I get to D.C. on 95 or 95? She goes, hon. You're on that road right now.
Right now, hon.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Hold the line, please. We will do secret sound again.
All right. You guys almost had me there. I really thought that you might have had it.
What do you think? A guy's going to get the toughest one on the very first guess?
Well, it was such an off-the-wall guess that I thought he might have gotten it.
No, absolutely not. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what was the last secret sound? The one that somebody just got.
Tape ejecting from a tape recorder. Video tape recorder.
Yeah, VCR ejecting a tape.
Thank you.
Is it too much to ask? I mean, didn't we just announce that before the last commercial set?
We did, and you would have thought that he might have been a little more gracious. Well, thank you for the information instead of just going click.
Is it too much to ask? And you know, it's been a while since we've pleaded with our listeners. You tell them to listen. It is a 4-hour show.
Yes, it is.
And frankly, we demand that you listen to every minute of all 4 hours of this show every day.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
We're here for all 4 hours.
We are indeed.
Hello?
Yes, I'm going to guess the sound.
No, we're done with that now, my friend.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, though. You would have been a dynamic contestant.
Thank you.
I can tell.
Okay.
Full of life and vitality. You would have been an MC's dream. I bet you make Bob Barker wet.
Okay.
What do you say when somebody says thank you?
You're welcome.
Hey,
thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you, my friend.
Hello, John and Mike show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Do you ever go into a restaurant? I have a pet peeve. It's really minor. It's real nitpicky, but I have to share it. Okay. Because when I'm in a restaurant and if I say a real nice thank you to somebody and you get, I'd rather have no response at all than this response when somebody like brings you a Diet Coke and puts it down and goes, thank you very much. And the person goes, uh-huh. That to me is just like saying, you know, it's like saying my response to you is whatever. Your thank you means I'd much rather have a smile or something instead of, uh-huh.
Maybe it's the restaurant you're going to.
Well,
I don't think that, Mr. Tasty Diner, where you eat all the time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, in the old country buffet, they ought to be just as nice as anywhere else.
That's the one I was trying to think of.
There's a new one, too, that we might try this weekend. I think it's called the Steak America or some sort of... It's a steak... People know this. It's steak something all-you-can-eat buffet.
Wow.
Now, listen. Now, I mean, really,
man.
Can you imagine...
Welcome to Mario's Heart Attack City.
Steak and buffet in the same... title of the restaurant.
Cool. Cardiac Carousel.
Man, you imagine that just like stacks and stacks of steak? Eat it till you're full.
Like the big Fred Flintstone steak that he had at the drive-in at the end of the Flintstones?
That's right. It's probably not real expensive steak, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Right.
Like the kind of steak my mother-in-law buys from my father-in-law. I'll tell you something. My father-in-law, I mentioned we're going to the beach this weekend. Mm. Just a quick one-day trip up there to our place. My father-in-law loves it. When we come to the beach, because we'll go to the store and we buy steaks and I grill them out on the deck.
Real steaks.
And he loves it. And my mother-in-law sometimes will come over and she'll say, did you buy a steak for Pop-Pop? And I'll say, yeah, I got one. And she'll say, oh, well, that's too bad. I've had one in the freezer for a couple of weeks, and every night when I want to make it for him, he says, no, he'd like something else. And I look at it and it says, steak cost 89 cents.
It's under the protective ice.
Yeah, and it looks like some old shoe. It has a
love
very,
it.
Mike will understand this, a very Gomez look to it.
Ah, oh, really?
It looks like bad meat.
Yeah, and is it shrink-wrapped? Is that the way it's packaged?
Yeah.
Yeah, very dangerous.
Yeah, my father-in-law is just too nice to say to my mother-in-law, listen, you know, you're buying me bad meat.
You know, shrink-wrapping for any kind of meat product to me always says... You know, it's in the source where they're sending it out from the distribution point. And somebody looks at it and goes, man, that's got like about a half hour left. You better shrink wrap that thing.
Hello, the Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to find out if you guys still were looking for people to answer the phone.
I didn't know that we were. I mean, outside of the fact that I would like to fire Mike Rockhead and replace him with Christine Kerner again.
I think at one point you might have mentioned you wish we had a real hot girl.
Oh, a naked
answering.
Girl.
Naked girl.
We wanted a naked
phone.
Girl to answer our phones.
Oh, I'm not that girl.
Well, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I get Drew Barrymore a lot.
Well, thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks so much.
Listen, on this show, I'm sure you're a wonderful woman, but on this show, saying you look like Drew Barrymore is an immediate disqualification.
Sorry.
I apologize. I'll have to talk to my parents about that one.
You should.
That's funny. Okay, let me ask you, though. If we hired you to answer the phones, would you do it topless?
For a reasonable fee, maybe.
A reasonable fee?
Good.
How about is reasonable a little less than minimum wage?
Jesus, are you for real?
Yeah, yes.
We're always for real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck finding someone. Really?
I have a beautiful man doing it right now who doesn't mind taking his shirt off. His name is Michael Rockhead.
I'll tell you right now, I think it's appropriate that we share some real truth with our listening audience right now. The fact of the matter is this show does not originate from Washington, D.C. The show, in fact, originates from a sweatshop in Honduras.
We are currently paying Michael Rockhead 48 cents an hour.
Absolutely. What we have here is...
Kathy Lee, the manager?
She comes down occasionally to look at her factory, but we got Don and Mike in the studio. Then we have Joe Rockhead out there in the one sweatshop, the sales force for this station, then on the other side of the building, they're making soccer balls.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, baby.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, you.
You have to tell your mother-in-law not to stop buying that B. Arthur steak. That's what it is.
That's right, Beatrice Arthur's staff. Oh, you know what?
That's the brand.
Somebody mentioned to me, I was talking to somebody in the sales staff who said that I don't know who they sold our Los Angeles show to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we go out and we do a show somewhere, they sell a client like sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
Said the client only had one complaint. And I was ready for, okay, you know.
Yeah, right.
Bring it on. What's it going to be? The sales guy said, client was really upset when you had Betty White on that you said you were going to tell her the Beatrice Arthur joke and then you forgot to tell her the Beatrice
That's
Arthur
right.
joke.
Oh, for, that you forgot?
That's forgot, what yeah. so the client was cool.
You know, she had that demeanor, though, where, you know,
yeah.
I frankly don't think she would have taken it well at all.
I think it would have gone over.
You think so?
No, I really do.
I will never know. I mean, we really had that window of opportunity. I guess next time we get together with Ms. White.
Yes. Hello, which will probably be at her funeral.
How are you today?
Hello, John and Mike.
Yeah, I'm calling from Burlington, W-E-A-U, and we...
Where's that, Vermont? Burlington, Vermont,
yes.
sir?
Yes.
Yeah.
We wanted to know if any of those, Don can play as Redskin stuff. Nobody's heard that, and it's kind of like the last Beatle tape. So I was wondering if you could make a special request.
What?
Put it up on the thing right now, and
what
I'd
are you talking
it on
about?
The air.
Does this guy work at our radio station?
Do you work at the radio station?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, violation! Violation!
I feel like Tom Hanks right now.
You're not supposed to call on the request line. Listen, just plug the show in and enjoy the show.
Let me
quote Mel Karmazin. What haven't we done for you?
There's no more. You can't beg for more. I mean, this is the time for listeners, not employees of radio stations.
I know, but we've gotten a lot of requests from Burlington.
You can tell the people.
Radio report.
Well, then all you got to do is call the Washington Redskins, and for a nominal fee, you can run the Redskins games on your station, like 70 other stations do around America, and then you can run my goddamn free game.
I know. We like a tease or something.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. This is this show, and that is that show. And furthermore, you should never be calling us, asking us to do this for you.
Well, who's the football guest today, and then we're cool.
Well, I don't have to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
And what, are we talking about Vermont?
Yeah.
The last time I checked, I know they're a very popular football team, but Vermont is not really the wheelhouse for the Washington Redskins.
I know. They just all want to hear Don and doing his stick there.
Well, as I mentioned, call the Redskins. And I know that the Redskins have the largest radio network of any team in the NFL, over 70 radio stations. Mm-hmm. Sign up and you can run the show.
Okay.
What's your name, sir? So the next time we call the station, we can ask for you.
And your title, please.
Well, this is Tim O'Brien, and I'm basically the station manager.
Basically the station manager?
I am the station manager, yeah.
You are the station manager.
And what is your name?
It's Tim O'Brien.
Tim O'Brien.
Can we be able to check that out?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm all right.
La, 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 la.
Very strange. When he first started talking, he said, and I'd like to be on the air.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, and also, it just sounded weird on a lot of levels.
Very strange. What was that again? The Burlington, Vermont?
Right. Yeah, and Tim O'Brien. He says he's basically the station manager. And then he seemed to, you know, when we got into his area of what he did, his energy level seemed to wane a little bit.
That's not the contact name I have here.
No.
Because I got a list of all the stations and the contact name.
So it could have been a liar.
Yeah. Plus, I can't believe anybody's really calling the station in Vermont and they want to hear my Redskins show. I mean, it's a good show, but please.
But he did sound like a radio man.
Yes, hello, is this WEAV?
Yeah, this is the office.
Hey, this is Don and Mike. How you doing, baby?
Oh, my God.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, listen, this Dick that just called us, does he really work there, Tim O'Brien?
Tim O'Brien?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, yeah. We were just calling to check. There was a guy that claimed to be the station manager, and he was lying all along.
I totally love you guys.
Oh, well, we totally love you, baby.
I totally love you.
Ooh, what's your name?
My name is Allison.
Allison.
Damn, now this is certainly a better response than we got when we called our station in Florida to ask about the hurricane coming through.
Mm-hmm.
No way, I love you.
Love you.
I listen to you every day at work, and I had to bring in my own radio because we don't get AM on the stupid radio in the lobby.
Oh, that sucks.
I have my own little radio right at my own desk.
You mean you don't get AM and you're working in an AM radio station?
We have four different stations.
No, it's one of those deals.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
I gotcha. Hey, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble, you little nymph?
You want to know?
Yeah.
I've been told that I look like Carolyn Bessette Kennedy.
Ooh.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, so you're decomposing? I love that joke.
I'm a dead ringer
beforehand.
Really? Oh, bada-bing.
Dead ringer?
Dead ringer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, thank you for your support.
Hey, thanks for calling me.
Hey, you're all right. We love you.
Well, call me anytime.
I like that. Now, there is an attitude we ought to get from every affiliate.
Bravo. Why don't you send me a naked picture of you?
I don't have any.
Why don't you take one this weekend? Send us a naked picture of yourself.
Okay, what's the address?
We're starting a collection of a nude photo album of all of the receptionists for all of the 60 radio stations we're on.
Then eventually we're going to turn it into a cocktail table book.
You know what? I'll get everybody in the business office.
Fantastic.
We're all women.
Good.
Wow. What was your real first name again?
Allison.
That's a good idea, Allison.
Mm-hmm. Allison, I'm guessing that you've posed nude before. Not professionally, but
I really haven't.
I bet you've done like some Dr. Laura pictures. Haven't you?
No, I really haven't.
Are you married, Allison?
No, but I just got engaged.
Oh, that doesn't mean she still can't send us the pictures.
I know, but it just took a little fun out of the conversation. Yeah. Are you in love with this guy?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, he's not right for you.
You are?
No, I'm
married.
You're
all married.
Yeah, we're all married too, but I'll tell you, he's not right for you.
Are you doing everything for him?
Well, what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Hey, everything. Are you running the board, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. Oh, can I say that?
What did she say?
With your cigarette. You did something to him with your cigarette?
No, I said, oh, hell yeah. Can I say that?
Oh, hell yeah. With your cigarette. What is with you today? You are tied up.
I'm not
tied then cigarette. It's time for the cigarette burns on your leg portion of it.
I thought she said with your cigarette.
With your cigarette burn me. These to me are maybe desires you're harboring. I didn't know that. The pleasure and the pain.
Absolutely not. Well, listen, Allison, please do send us a picture of yourself.
Okay, give me the address.
Okay. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, hold on, please.
Frida, I was very bad at work today.
Frida would beat my ass, too, if I was into that. It would not even be a fair fight. Hello, Don and Mike show. If I was into that thing, which
of
I'm
course.
Not.
Light the cigarette.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. Can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? I just wanted to know, Don, if you ever knew that Betty White was a pinup girl at one time, and she did, like, burlesque nudie photos.
I think saw her in a sleuth.
Yeah, we did a long time ago. I think she was Stonewall Jackson's girlfriend, as a matter of fact, during the Civil War.
All right, thank you.
No, she was like in WW2, she was like a Betty Grable type.
Right. Way back when.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Way back when, after she was, nursing the troops of the Confederacy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Unleash the hounds!
Thank you.
Hello, radio station.
Hello, yeah, this is Tim O'Brien again. I want to talk to Don.
No, this is not Tim O'Brien.
Yeah, but it could be.
No, but it's not. And you're on the radio, and your radio's up too loud.
You're very...
Oh, my radio's not even on. I turned it off.
No, you're a liar.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Establish that.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to let Mike know that he could do the show any day without Don.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll lay that out.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, great.
Hey, it's the All-American Steak and Buffet.
That's it.
There it is.
That's it. You had to know someone would call in with
it. And I knew it was a better name. Thank you. And I'm going. I'm going this weekend. The All-American Steak and Buffet.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but it looks pretty good from the outside.
Though. I've heard incredible reviews.
Oh, please.
Oh, just because there's a vet next door. Why is there always a vet next door?
Yeah, I wonder, Mike. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, guys.
All right. All-American Steak and Buffet.
See you. Goodbye.
You know what's concerning me? You know what's what concerns me about the name? The All American Steak and Buffet.
Yes.
Okay, which means maybe you
order a steak and then like it's a buffet with like crappy lettuce and stuff.
That would be very disappointing. Now see, you know what? I want all you can eat steak. You know what? That'd be a great name for a place. All you can eat steak. I mean, can you imagine how...
And it has to be U for U, the letter U. All U, letter U, can eat steak.
That's right, kids free. Because, I mean, really, a kid under five, how many porterhouses can he eat?
Well,
exactly?
Think of young Rob Spiegel.
That's an exception to the rule.
The baby Spiegel. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Lori from Sterling.
Yes, hello there, Lori.
Hi, yeah, I was calling to find out, Don, what your fantasy is with Helen Hunt. My husband's anniversary is this Saturday, and he says that he has a fantasy of Helen Hunt, but he won't tell me what it is. So I was thinking, since he's always listening to the show, maybe if you said what yours was, maybe he would say what his was.
Does it involve any rope?
No,
that's what I wanted to, okay.
Really? Well, give me your music. Give me my sex music.
I'm good.
Do you have an elaborate fantasy that you're going to share with this woman?
I guess that means yes. I guess that does mean yes.
Okay. Helen Hunt walks into the bedroom. She takes off all of her clothes. She stands in front of me nude.
Oh, no waiting.
And I want to give some props to Buzz on this, okay?
Okay.
And it's now like her body is covered with cigarette burns. Then what I do is I go down to the kitchen. I go down to the kitchen. And I get one of my wife's, one of those plastic bags from the grocery store.
What the hell are you going to do? Stop it before it's too late.
Right. And then right when we're having sex.
Right.
We do the... What's it called?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes.
That's
it.
Man.
Listen, man. You wanted the fantasy, and then afterwards I would crap in her mouth.
Oh, God. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's just me and my fantasy. Okay.
All right, well, just
go out of hell.
Okay. Listen, you asked for the fantasy. That's the fantasy. Thank you.
Well, I hope that my husband's fantasy is not that.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, you want to
save your dignity. At least say you put the plastic bag on your head.
No, Mike.
No, of course not.
No.
No, man.
No, I gotta live. Listen, you ask. You ask.
Oh, man. You know, this is, we just respond to all the crap that comes in.
Right? Here he is. A guy saying your steak buffet place is terrible.
Oh, now no. I've heard differently.
Steve.
Yeah, it is the worst, absolute worst place I think I've ever been.
Have you been to the Old Country Buffet?
Well, yeah, that's not too good either, but this place is
worse. Okay.
All right, goodbye. Sure, that's credible.
Goodbye.
Yeah, he's disqualified as a
critic. The Old Country Buffet isn't good.
God, my God. But people just have no taste.
Don and Mike's show.
Hey, All-American Steak and Buffet is not all steak, Mike.
Well, what is it? How does it work exactly? Can you get all-you-can-eat steak?
Can't do it.
Can't do it, then you won't be going, will you?
But to me, that's false advertising.
You can order a steak,
right.
Or you can order the buffet, and there's food on the buffet. It's not just crummy lettuce.
Can you pay for the steak and the buffet?
And yes, you can get a steak and the buffet.
What's in the buffet? What's the best item in the buffet? Chicken?
Well, they have chicken.
Jell-O mold.
Old Country Buffet has, but it's a step up from that. Not much.
See, if I could go in and order a steak separately and then order the buffet and they had fried chicken and Belgian waffles. I mean, now that's a meal.
I know, then you've died and gone to heaven.
Absolutely. I can accept that. I
can accept that. You get your eggs with your hats and coats.
Eggs and hats and coats, and then it's over to the all-you-can-eat ice cream bar.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Radio Gods, how you doing?
Hi there.
Did you happen to see East Show Last Days of Elvis?
No, Rob saw it, though, and told me that it was no good.
They dredged up a lot of what you guys had on your program.
Yeah, it was a lot of tried and true stuff. The only thing that I really enjoyed were the recreations.
Oh, really?
Where you see, like, a guy over the shoulder with fat fingers and sideburns, like, trying to fix his bills. That was pretty good. But other than that, I mean, it was a lot of old footage and a lot of stories that we'd already covered on this show, I thought.
Rob, what do you think how do you think Lamar Fike and Sonny West ended up?
In bed together. All right, thank you, sir.
Covered with cigarette burns.
And auto association. And then somebody went to the bathroom on them.
Pretty, and then filled their pills with sugar.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who is this?
No.
Mike and Don.
Right.
Just disqualify that guy.
There you go.
On that.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Hello.
Don and Mike show. Wrong show.
Really?
Wrong show for that.
Absolutely.
Hello.
He must have been one of the six.
Hello. One of the Fairfax six. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
It's Don?
Yeah, and Mike.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I want to let you know about that steak and buffet.
I think we've tapped a vein of gold here. We really have. All the people are actually...
I think it's brown gold, Mike.
Brown gold.
Do not eat there.
Do not
eat. Do not.
Why? Hey, you know, I don't think we need to... I think we're dealing with a potential sponsor here, and if you're saying do not eat there...
Listen, why don't you just go this weekend and draw your own conclusion and give us your restaurant review on Monday's episode.
You know something? I will go to the All-American Steak and Buffet.
Sure.
Do they have breakfast?
No.
Oh, well.
No, they only open in the afternoon.
Oh, dear.
All right, that's two strikes against them.
Afternoon. When dinner time is 2 to 4.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, my friend.
I am writing a book about the Kennedys right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the chapter on Jack's sex life last night. And I wrote the sentence that he had four-way glorious sex with three hookers, which is a true statement.
Uh-huh.
I want to know if I can get that past my publisher and past my editor, do I get a prize?
Now, are you a legitimate author?
I am. In fact, you guys, I sent you one of my books last year during the impeachment, if you might recall.
Well, have you ever had anything published? Because we have actually had books, real books.
Dedicated to us.
Dedicated to us. Like some guy that wrote a Sabrina the Teenage Witch book for 13-year-old girls actually dedicated the book to us.
And a cookbook, the guy that has the recipes, the famous recipes,
right,
like how to make Popeye's chicken and
right,
stuff like
he
that.
He dedicated his book
well,
to us.
That's more than I can do. I've written six real books. I sent you my book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Impeachment, last year, Don. Mm-hmm. If you might recall, maybe not.
So do you write the Idiot's Guide books?
I've written a couple.
You mean the real Idiot's Guide
right,
books?
Right, the orange Idiot's Guides, right.
What is your name?
The yellow one.
My name is Steve.
Which Idiot's Guides have you written, Steve?
I've written the Idiot's Guide to Impeachment of the President.
No, come on, give me a real one.
I swear to God, ask Charlie. I sent it to him and talked to him three times last year.
Give me a real one that was really in the stores that somebody might have bought.
I was on MSNBC five times last year with that book.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Steve.
Steve what? I mean, you're what?
Strauss.
Steve Strauss.
You know,
it's just hard to believe, especially when they go, Strauss, yes.
Well, yeah, I'm Tommy Flanagan.
Strauss. I'm past my publisher right now, and all of a sudden I've given you my name.
Okay.
I'm telling you already about four-way glorious sex with Jack Kennedy, and I shouldn't have done that.
We have to realize that the mantra of this show is trust no one. Right.
Well,
and how come it says on the screen, although this could be the rockhead factor, it says on the screen here that your name is Drew.
Well, I'm not Drew.
Did you tell Rockhead that your name is Drew?
I did not. Ask Charlie if he talked to me last year.
All right, Charlie Broyhill.
How old are you, sir?
40.
Very young sounding 40, I mean.
Yeah. Let's get our producer in here.
Now, I believe it's time for another inquisition, and I know we hate to do these, but unfortunately, it is of necessity.
Charles Broyhill?
Easy, bro.
Hi, Charlie.
Have a seat.
Hi. This guy who says he wrote this book,
this guy.
You don't need this guy.
You don't want this guy. Is this guy on a level?
I have no idea.
Well, you've got a pretty good crap detector, you know.
If he sent us books, it's possible. A lot of times, I'll read the title of the book, ask Rob if he wants it to take to a used bookstore to sell.
All right, after the...
you do that, Rob.
I haven't in a long time, but I used to.
Oh, that is the cheapest. Swear to God, that's the cheapest.
Made for a great honeymoon.
After the Idiot's Guide to Impeachment, what other Idiot's Guides have you written?
The Idiot's Guide to Getting Out of Debt.
I've seen that.
And then I'm writing now one of the Kennedys.
What is it, the Idiot's Guide to the Kennedys?
That is it.
Really?
Yes, really.
How much money do you make for each book?
I cannot say. I'd rather not say.
Well, forget the stuff about writing a stupid line about glorious four-way sex. Why don't you just dedicate the goddamn book to us?
It's not as fun as getting a line like that past the editor. It's not nearly as fun. Now, you guys have whole contests about being able to say glorious four-way sex to mothers and have...
Listen, you dedicate the book to us. Just dedicate your book to us.
You dedicate the show tomorrow to me, and I'll dedicate
No, you dedicate...
You.
Listen, you do it first, and I'll do it.
We'll dedicate the show to you. We'll also talk about your next project.
With these guys who have dedicated these other books to us, we've had them on the show, and we've helped them sell books.
Really?
Yes.
Well...
I mean, I know you'll think it's queer, but we
want to get on the show and talk about selling the books. That wasn't really why I called today.
Is there somebody at the publishing company that we could verify your story with?
Well, sure.
Like you know, we could get the numbers off the air, and we could actually call them and say, "Do you know such and such?" And you know, you could actually give us whatever password.
Yes, not that I really want you to call my publisher, but yes.
Well, why don't you just dedicate your next book to us, and then I promise we'll give you a whole segment.
I'll tell you,
kinds of free advertising.
You dedicate your next book to us, and we will, it'll be you.
We love that.
I'll consider it.
It'll be Stephen Strauss, you know, all day.
What's to consider? Why would it be so tough to dedicate the book to Don and Mike?
Well, I mean, there's other people in my life besides Don and Mike that I might want to get a book to.
You've already written
a stack of books. Haven't you covered those people already?
There's a little bit of truth to that.
Seems to me the other people in your life couldn't deliver 5 million book buyers to you, though.
And it's not like you have to write to Don and Mike, who I listen to every single day, although that would be wonderful.
Yes.
But you can just write to Don and Mike, for Don and
Mike. How about in the acknowledgments, where I thank the people?
No. I'm sorry. We've had that done also with Laura Korn's sex book.
Mm-hmm.
We must... The book must be devoted to... You got to dedicate
the book
to us.
And what do I get in return?
We'll give you a segment on the show.
A segment? A five-minute segment?
Yeah. All right, well, I tell you what. Kiss my ass, okay? Good luck.
I mean, really.
See you in the unemployment line, okay?
I love you guys.
All right, come on, goodbye. Send me your book when you dedicate it to me. Otherwise, goodbye. See you in hell. Goodbye. And don't go ripping off our lines either.
That's right.
Or you're going to hear from the CBS attorneys. I'll sue your ass.
Oh, punk.
Punk. I'll get my minivan and run you over.
Terrorists hang out by the roots.
You love your 5 million your listeners, don't you?
Yes. We love all of our listeners, absolutely. Except
the ones that call and have a nice chat with you.
The ones that tease us.
I'm going to pull a Stephen King on you.
That's right.
I really am.
You're going to buy him and then take him into the town square and attack him with a sledgehammer.
Yes.
Listen, very seriously, either dedicate your book to us or don't, okay?
Thanks, Don.
Okay, you're welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, Mr. Happening Author.
He's so contentious.
And he's gone. Okay. All right, I don't know.
No, it's not you. There was something about his manner, to quote a line from Terms of Endearment.
I think he thought that we were supposed to be, like, awestruck. Because a guy who's written a book was slumming to call this show.
Yeah, well, it's difficult to take a guy seriously if he's 40 years old and he sounds like Ricky Schroeder from The Champ.
Yeah.
And a little difficult to make that credible.
All right, time out. We're going to pick the pros until they scab and bleed. When we come right back.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see.
I hate when people talk during the movie.
Live and La Vida Marti. It's Don Geronimo and Michael Mellon.
Friday afternoon means it's time to talk about the new movie. With noted girdle wearer and softball player, Chuck Stossel. Missed you at the Vegas Style Show.
You know, I would have loved to have been there. Absolutely loved to have been
there.
I love being there.
The girl that won the underwear fashion show.
You're kind of lady. You missed it.
Charlie, I mean, Yasmin Bleeth's face. Huge, big bitties.
Beautiful.
What I hear?
Just beautiful. And not to mention the fact she's dancing with Buzz.
There
right?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. Really.
Yes. Oh, and now Buzz is going to be assisting you now because he's going to be wearing pajamas at our next Las Vegas Style Show.
I'm sure Buzz will be a wonderful person to work with.
Yes.
Yes, and make no bones about it. It'll be like a magician act. You're the magician,
mm-hmm.
and Buzz is your wonderful, the girl that comes out and gets sawed in half.
Absolutely. The assistant.
With his pipe, smoking his pipe.
Would there be any chance that you would wear pajamas also at our next Las Vegas show, Charlie?
But maybe we can talk about Buzz and I, because we'd have to, match.
Coordinate your outfit.
Normally, I sleep nude. I'm kidding.
Okay. All right, let me play you in here. Hold on, Jerry. Let me play you with him.
Once married, twice shy, here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Give me the smelling salt.
Good morning.
Good morning, sunshine. All the blinds are open.
You don't really sleep nude in the
nude,
do you? Okay,
no,
all right,
no,
good.
T-shirt and shorts.
And a more grown-up outfit today you're wearing.
Well, thank you.
Did you dress up for the show?
No. This is how. No, it's the weather's starting to turn a little bit, so I can get out of the.
Little less of the camp counselor John Gacy look.
The Gacy look. Thank you.
Well, everything looks brand new. Everything looks nice and crisp, like you might be returning it right after the show.
Yeah, this is the guy selling it out of the back of the truck.
Sure.
Who's waiting?
So, Chuck, anything new before we get to movies?
A lot new.
I always like asking you about your love life.
What a freak show. I'm going to just take my friend's advice and write a book.
Well, come on, tell
write
us what's
a
new.
Book about, no, you know, I'm not going to say anything about the latest one because,
honestly,
no, hold on, no. Her parents listen to the show.
Uh-huh.
They're very nice people. I would not want to say anything that would embarrass them.
Don't mention her name,
though.
No, because it's a generic girl.
No, it's just...
We're just talking, Charlie, about a generic girl who's done something to you.
A generic girl. And you can talk about the many concerts.
The standard, no time.
Sporting events.
What has she done to you?
No, just no time.
She has no time for you?
No time.
And with the time you have together, is it good time? Is it quality time?
There's no time.
You mean no?
We had a date.
You've seen each other then.
A few weeks. I'm seeing like 2 weeks.
So this might not even be a girlfriend, right?
No, this is nothing.
Oh, okay.
No, this is another girl blowing you off?
Yeah. We'll just go right down to that lower level.
You're so sad.
Yeah.
You're depressed today.
No, not today.
You're not? You seem sad. You
no.
seem sad. I had a brief moment where I actually legitimately felt sorry for you.
Oh, my ass.
And Charlie, this latest girl, who we're going to use as Miss X,
okay,
who's been blowing you off, she doesn't have time. Her name isn't Betty Avery, is it?
No. No.
She's been very ill. That might have been the time.
Oh, that
might have been the reason she didn't have time for you. Sure.
No.
So you went out. Did you at least go on a date?
Oh, lots of them. Lots of them. Met her parents. Was at her sister's birthday party.
Stop.
She's very nice, and I'm not going to say anything bad about her.
So you went on a lot of dates.
Here's another reason why I'm not going to say anything else.
It must be you then, Charlotte.
Well, anybody then who I go out with, they're going to just avoid me like the plague, thinking all I'm going to do is come on the air and vent, and I certainly don't want that reputation.
But it must be you if, again, you go out with a girl a couple of times.
I cannot picture that it's me and see what's going wrong.
What you're saying is there were a lot of dates at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Many dates, and then now the frequency...
And the dating has stopped. Is she another one where you can't get in touch with?
Oh, no. We email and talk.
Have you tried to keep it together and not be as clingy?
I'm not that clingy to begin with.
Well, you're a little bit clingy.
I am not clingy.
I think it's a wonderful trait. There's nothing wrong with being clingy.
But I'm not.
You see something you want, and you go for it. Unfortunately, you see something you want with every girl you meet.
You glom onto her a little bit. Like, you're like a human jellyfish.
I am not a jellyfish. God.
A human jellyfish.
I am not.
When you see a girl you like.
I am not.
You know what I mean? You clamp onto her leg.
Hello, so, marry me.
So will you and your male friend be going to the Moody Blues concert tonight or something?
No.
Okay.
Although I do need a brand new hockey season coming up. You need that hockey buddy.
Right.
So I'm out in the market for that hockey buddy again. God damn it.
So this girl.
Very nice girl. And I'm still, I would still consider her a friend.
Do you ask her when you talk to her in email?
Yeah,
do you type in, hey, how come we never go out anymore?
I know why.
Why?
She has no time. It's from work. She has stuff that she does after work. She works with horses and trains them and for shows and things like that. And on the weekend, she puts them all up and goes and does her stuff.
What about on the weekend nights?
These are all-day affairs. These things, and they're not local. They're out in Pennsylvania and
Jersey.
And
horse lovers, trouble. Yeah. Trouble.
Trouble with a capital T.
Huge. I call that trouble with a capital T.
What about you driving out to Pennsylvania? I mean, have you approached it from that standpoint?
It's getting further and further out.
You find a nice hotel out there?
Freaking local. I'm tired of dating people that I've got to drive 2 hours to spend any quality time with whatsoever.
Okay, there we go.
I call it trouble with a capital T.
How do you meet all these women? I know a lot of guys out there that are probably a lot of friends.
Friends.
Yeah, a lot of people say.
Let's get a real response about what it's like to go out with Charlie Stossel. I had to delete myself there because I sounded like I said the F word. We don't even freaking talk about movies anymore.
Right. We don't.
Here is Natalie, who claims that she's actually gone out with Charlie a couple times.
How you doing?
Hi, Charlie. Does this voice sound familiar to you?
I went out with him a few years ago. I called a show because I wanted to go out with him, and went out with him a couple of times, and he took me to two very nice restaurants. Went out, I think, twice, and I got to see his office and have dark hair and blue eyes. And he was just an absolute gentleman, probably the most gentleman person that I've ever gone out with.
Wow, thank you, Nav.
You were the most gentleman person she's ever gone out with.
Gentleman-like. And he even told me the story, and it's stick with me for years. He said, the older you get, the circle gets smaller and smaller. And just
Is
that your line?
That's
your line?
Wow. That's good.
That's it.
That's a good line.
Shut up.
Two questions about Charlie.
God.
First, did you find him clingy?
And not at all.
Second, When did you decide that you had to put space between yourselves?
Well, I actually was moving. And so it was like a few months, maybe 1 or 2 months before I actually moved down to Richmond. And so unfortunately,
Now I remember now.
Wait a minute.
But he was like way into the softball thing. And,
it sounds to me like you still carry the torch for young Charlie.
Well, every time I hear him on Fridays, I always get excited and stuff because I just thought he was so sweet. And had I not moved, I absolutely would have pursued it.
Are you in a relationship right now?
Yeah, I'm getting married next Saturday.
There's the softball charm.
They're
going to get married and become a lesbian.
He was so cute.
Yeah. All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Natalie.
Okay.
I'm getting married. It's not like just I'm in a relationship.
I come in here like at an 8 or 9 or 10, and I walk out of here at 2.
Gotta love it. Chuck, what's new in the movie theater this weekend?
Screw the movies.
Come on, Double Jeopardy.
You want to talk about Ashley Juggs and Double Jeopardy?
Yes, Ashley Juggs.
A movie with Tommy Lee Jones where, we talked about this last week, and you hit it right on the head. The entire movie is in the trailer, where she is wrongly convicted of killing her husband aboard a boat, gets put in jail, realizes from her jailhouse friends, all of course her ex-lawyers, that she can go out and kill him now when she gets out.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Yes.
I got a neighbor that lives about 5 houses away who's a lawyer, and the other night I was out and he was walking his dog, and he said he heard us talking about that on the show, and he said, you realize that you really can't do that?
No, I think that
the law is... If you get put in jail for killing somebody and you didn't really kill him,
you can't be retried for that murder.
Yeah, but if you go out and kill him then, you can be tried a second time.
Absolutely.
So he said that the premise of the movie is total bull.
There's a lot of things in this movie that, when she finds out that she was indeed framed, if I'm in jail, I'm going to call my attorney right away and say, you need to look into this. She never does. She sits out the entire, 6 years in jail while her son's growing up and she loses contact with him, just waiting to get out and then take on her revenge in getting her husband back. This is B-movie trash.
Oh, wow.
Which I actually liked.
Tricky.
This is a lot like Sleeping with the Enemy, the Julie Roberts picture, or there was a Sally Field movie about 4 years ago called Eye for an Eye. It's something that you're going to... It's a throwaway movie.
I think Ashley Judd is terrific, though.
She's naked in this, too.
Topless. Ashley Judd. Okay, so how many stars do you give Double Jeopardy?
We'll give it 2.5. It's better than... it's a pure throwaway, but it's that guilty pleasure trash.
Okay, what else is this?
We could talk about what might be the worst movie in existence.
Really?
Of the year.
Let's save that for the end, then.
Okay. All right. Let's talk Mumford.
This is about the psychologist?
About the psychologist. His name is Mumford.
I laughed because I went to school with a Phil Mumford.
You did?
Yeah. He's not listening now unless he lives in one of our cities. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Mumford.
Mumford.
Well, Phil also goes to a town called Mumford where he is just a fake psychologist, and he has a unique way of practicing where if he likes you, he gets into you and really is listening to what you're having to say, but if he doesn't like you, he'll kick you out, and he'll tell other people about your troubles. If I am seeing Mike and I don't like Don, I'll say, hey, you know what Don did?
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's very unethical. But he has this hold on the town, and they all really like him until Martin Short comes into the picture. He's a very sleazy attorney in a very funny role.
I'm a big Martin Short fan. I'm taking a lot of crap for that on this show.
Starts going, something's not right here. They investigate, and they find out that he is a fraud. Lawrence Kasdan wrote and directed the picture, and everyone is always hanging Lawrence Kasdan's hat on The Big Chill, on Silverado, on Body Heat, all early 80s movies.
God, all great movies, too.
Yeah, and he also wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he was involved with The Empire Strikes Back. And with
this movie
Jedi.
Sucks.
No,
How many poor singles?
I think it could have been a lot funnier than what it was, but it's just okay.
All right, so then what's the worst movie of all time?
Dennis Rodman. Starring in a picture called...
Dog Park or something?
No, that's Gene Garofalo, which was not screened at all.
Uh-oh.
Hey, do you remember when we were at Leah Remini's house?
Right.
And we were watching Monday Night Football, and the ad for the Dennis Rodman movie came on TV. And she stood in front of the television. This lady was a TV actress.
Right.
She looked at the TV, she was disgusted, and she said, do you believe that MF-er gets movies?
Yeah.
Really?
In this, now get this, he plays a top-secret Interpol agent.
Who has
to go out and find these bad guys with the help of two monks. Who are real good computers.
The writing is delicious.
Yes.
Does that mean he's got more dialogue? Does Dennis have more dialogue?
You're doing a better job than he can. This might be the worst piece of S ever.
How come this didn't go direct to video?
I don't know. Maybe there's a market out there that likes Dennis Rodman.
Got to be painful to sit through that.
How many porcelain dolls do you get?
Zero.
So this is the worst.
Zero.
This might be the worst movie of the year
that I've seen.
All right,
and American Beauty opens up wide. I met Kevin Spacey last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, had a little chat with Mr.
Spacey.
Well,
now, how come you didn't lead with that?
Oh, cool. Was he cool?
Very nice. Could not have been more gracious.
Did he hit on you?
No, he did not.
Well, you know, he's going everywhere saying he's not gay.
We kind of think he doth protest too much.
No, we talked for a little bit. I told him that Shut Up, Listen, and Learn has been a mantra of mine. That's from Swimming with Sharks, which is a great Kevin Spacey
That's
movie.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Swimming with Sharks
you
movie. No one knows
it. Have no brain.
Great movie.
Swimming with the Sharks. You're right, Charlie.
He seemed to love the fact that I referenced that right away. Not his movie that I did here or, you know, Kaiser Soze, but went with Swimming with Sharks, and he laughed at the little line I told him, and we had a little chat for a little while. Very nice guy.
Is that movie in wide release today?
It's semi-wide. It goes much wider on October the 1st.
All right, we'll talk about it then. I have one more call for you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The woman that you've been dating... The woman who you didn't want to talk about.
Well, I'm not
here. She
is. Anything bad about her.
You haven't even said her name.
Miss X.
Miss X is on the phone. Is this the real Miss X?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I appreciate that. That was very nice of you.
To what? Not say anything?
But I just wanted to clear the air. I am not blowing you off, and you know that.
I know. I never said you were. I said you don't have time, which is the truth.
Okay, but they asked. She's blowing you off, right? I think
well,
that's that. And you said,
well,
it
seems to be. It seems
you
to
know
be
how they are.
It's a trend
in the way they put things. Listen, it's a trend with Charlie and girls that Charlie sees them for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden the girls become unavailable.
Let's just ask a question.
In the
last 2 weeks, how many times have you dated this woman?
Oh, we went out once.
Once, and you know.
Let's clear the air a little on that.
But she's also been very busy, and she's had a few other things going on.
Okay.
So, I mean, no, I never said Miss X. I never said blowing off.
So you'd like to you'd like to continue dating Charlie?
And I still said
Calm down, Charlie.
Her a friend.
You'd like to continue dating Charlie?
Sure, let's go see Charlie.
Do you like him romantically?
Charlie and I get along great.
Do you like him romantically?
Charlie and I date, and we get along great.
Does Charlie make you horny? I mean, listen, do you look at Charlie as just a friend, or do you look at Charlie as a possible lover?
For radio and parental purposes, he is my friend.
For radio and parental purposes. Okay.
How old are you? Hey, good way of putting it.
Parental purposes is a ray of light. Mm-hmm.
How old are you, honey? Like, your mom and dad don't think you're getting it?
I'm 25.
Really? I'm sure you've been used like a toilet.
Hey, be nice.
I'm sure
be nice.
Your mother and father must know the fact that you're a sexually active woman. Right?
I played the fifth.
Okay.
Some people have those relationships with their phone.
Yes, they do.
Hey, Miss X, are you home this weekend?
I'm home tonight.
All right, I'll try and give you a call tonight.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye, Miss X.
So that kind of worked out for you, I think. I really do.
It's nothing, and this is not...
She was motivated to call.
It's nothing I haven't heard before. She's very, very nice. Very nice girl.
Well, she left the door open to me for radio and parental purposes. If she had really had no intentions,
so you've
she might have said...
You've gotten nothing off her thus far.
No, fifth. I also plead the fifth.
Not because
for her.
You're
on, for her.
He's got to honor her. He's in trouble.
I don't think he's done anything.
All right.
Good man, Charlie. All right, get out of here, you.
Bye, Charlie.
Hey, listen, if you ever meet someone famous again, God forbid you give them our phone number.
He wasn't in town today. Matter of fact, he was on
the
screening. It was get out of Dodge.
Like they don't have phones in the rest of the country? Come on.
Yeah, God forbid that we ever get a great star like Kevin Spacey.
I can talk to you about that off the air because there have been opportunities in the past. Ooh. But we can talk off the air.
Yes.
Okay.
Damn, I'd love Kevin Spacey.
Absolutely. Yeah. Major movie star. He's a major star.
That movie, Swimming with the Sharks, Charlie's absolutely right.
Great movie.
That would be in my top 10 all-time favorite movies.
And I go gaga over Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I certainly do.
He's good in that.
He's great in that.
He's good in that.
And I like the book also. It's just a very gay-oriented book and movie, you know.
Sure is, Mike.
Maybe where all the stuff started where he got paranoid.
We will be back in a momento.
This is the Don and Mike. God damn it.
Right?
The Don and Mike Show.
In case you missed it on yesterday's episode, secret sound number 3 was the sound of a VCR tape being ejected from you know, a VCR machine.
Wow. I actually got a prediction from Joe Ardinger out in the hallway. It's not a prediction, a guess on the secret sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll let him share it with you later in the hallway, and you tell him if he's right or not. Because it sounded pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, it really did.
We can make, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. It's the kind of contest where a wacky person like Joe Ardinger might win.
I told him, sure. I'd tell you. I'll write
hey,
it.
Where is Joe?
I'll write it down.
Bring Joe in. Oh, just write it down. It's probably faster if you just write down what his guess was. We have a brand new secret sound, and we're going to work on that in just a moment. Listen for the touch tones.
Joe's on his way in.
It's pretty close.
Okay.
Wow. All right. And his first actually was this.
He's pretty damn close.
His first was that.
That's it.
Wow.
Amazing. Joe Ardinger.
Joe Ardinger.
Amazing.
Give him a round of applause.
Yeah, we got to get him in here and swear him to secrecy.
Absolutely.
The last thing I want him doing is telling all the junkies, sports junkies, that he knows what the answer to the
question
is.
You're the man, Joe Ardinger.
Joe.
You're the man.
Wow. Joe, now you got to be sworn to secrecy.
Absolutely.
But Joe,
like a good contest.
Congratulations. You figured out secret sound number four.
I guess I don't get the money then.
My man. So Joe, if you'd like to quit your job, here you can win $500.
I'll think about it.
All right.
Don't tell anybody, Joe. I swear to God, don't tell anybody.
Take care, Joe. Hope you catch a few this weekend.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, he's
amazing.
Well, I've always known.
Savant. You
know, I've always known his level of intellect. He's in his own little way, he's a very, very sharp guy.
Mm-hmm. Joe Ardinger Savant.
True.
He got it.
Maybe he'll be the one that I consult for all of these.
And don't you agree? That's going to be an impossible one to get, unless, of course, you've got the gift of Ardinger.
I will tell you that I disagree with you on one thing, that once it's discovered, that it will make sense, because it does have that sound.
But, but it's until that time.
I don't know how anybody's going to get it. I was amazed that Joe got it.
Joe Ardinger.
Really?
Go figure, Randy.
Pretty amazing.
Somebody go drop about 276 sticks on the floor. Isn't that what it was? Toothpicks in that movie?
Absolutely,
right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
49.
Okay, let's talk through first here, right?
You deliberately embarrassed me in front of a reporter.
Both of you, please.
We want to go to Chris.
I want to talk to Raymond, please.
Oh, all right.
Raymond?
Oh, man.
Raymond?
Oh, I hate him. I really do.
Did you just say you wanted to stick your brother in the balls with a fork?
Yeah, I did. It really motivated me. I'm sorry. I'd really like to do that. Then he'd have that big voice.
Okay,
know?
Chris.
All right.
On September 24, 1986, his band had the number one song, I'm Happy to Be Stuck With You.
Who is Huey Lewis in the news?
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Correct.
You've doubled your score. Way to go. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Steph?
Yes.
Steph, if you also have the correct answer, you are the big, fat, hairy wiener.
Good luck to you, Seth.
Who is Huey Lewis in the news?
Hey, also right. Correct. That means Seth's our big winner. Way to go.
Chris?
Yes.
Please don't go away mad. Just go away. We have some wonderful party gifts for you.
Thank you.
And of course, Seth, you win a lot of cash big enough to choke a horse. Let's go back to Robert.
Oh, I'm over here. Here we go. Are we ready?
To hear about our prizes. Robert.
First of all, Seth, you double your score. It's $26. You throw in a bonus. Your total is $51. Congratulations,
thank
Seth.
You.
And are you ready for your lovely parting gifts? Lovely Chris Wessel.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Here you are. First of all, you have won a David Letterman t-shirt, courtesy of CBS. Tune into CBS tonight for the season premiere of Now and Again, a show that tries to be funny and interesting, but it's unfortunately not as good as our show. But wait.
There's more.
You have won a small, rustic, wrought iron tool set.
Ooh.
Courtesy of Haas USA. Would you like to say anything, Mr. Stab Me in the Ball? No, I'm all right over here right now. All right. Keep the sharp objects away from him. It's America's spa, grill, and fireplace in Rockville, Maryland. But wait.
Still more.
You have one. Raymond, would you like to read the last one? This is appropriate for your intellect.
You are offering him a boat.
Yeah, all right.
Raymond, you don't have to take those crumbs.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Okay. You've won a WWF Unforgiven prize pack, courtesy of Media General Cable Stop Event. Wrestling. Now, I know what he's saying. I like wrestling. I'm not real sharp and all that.
I wasn't insinuating that. I was insinuating you're dangerous for sharp objects.
All right. Okay, to order WWF's Unforgiven this Sunday on pay-per-view. Go ahead and do it, all right?
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Seth.
Microphone back to me. Back in the corner, Raymond.
Okay.
Have a great weekend, kids. And Raymond and Robert.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I can't tell you what a fulfilling day this has been for me personally, perhaps not my brother, who is exposed to the impotence.
Well, listen, thank you, Mr. Stinky Feet.
Hey, a pleasure.
Let Mr. Noodle Dick say something now.
Okay, now, all right. I look,
look, I've been humiliated. I don't want to, like, dwell on it, but I just want to say thank you, because I represent my show on CBS, and so does he over here.
Nice. Thank you, boys.
God, I hate him. I hope she was dead.
Thank you, both of you now. Come on, get out of here.
It's been a pleasure. Please check out my extraordinarily hairy ass on the way.
Guys, always remember, never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Huron Incorporated, and it's distributed by King.
There they go. There they go. The brothers Barone.
Jesus, man, I tell you, there is an odor in here. And I don't know what it is. It smells like Dennis's shorts.
Maybe it was coming from Ray. You know, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but I know he was really concentrating.
It might be coming from me.
Uh-huh. That's always a possibility.
Yes, yes, it is. Absolutely. I hope we don't have to throw them away.
Hey, Buzz.
That's right.
Buzz, it's time for news and comments.
Uh-huh.
What is your lead story tonight?
Tonight, an update on yesterday's falling baby story.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, I love falling babies in the news.
Yeah, don't crack up now.
Oh. Hey, everybody, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and
for
comments.
News and comments. Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
On my show, and that was very...
Professional. It's the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know. I played the next week with a dislocated shoulder, so I can't tell you.
Did he have?
And it got dislocated that week, and I played the next week with it, and it got dislocated again. Then I played the next week, and it got dislocated again. Then I got tired of it dislocating, so I put a brace on it. I played the rest of the season and caught the highest amount of passes I ever caught in football. But then I'm Iron Mike.
Yo, Mike and Don Don. It like I feel because just backwards won this week. I don't think I pay.
Big football weekend this weekend. Let me get a couple of plugs in here. I'll be doing the Redskins pregame show on many of these stations.
Right.
And on over 70 Washington Redskins radio network stations on Sunday morning starting at 11. Also tomorrow night I'm going to be on Glenn Harris's Redskins TV show.
All right.
On News Channel 8 here in D.C. at both 7 and 9 p.m.
Ooh.
Wearing the only shirt that I own. And I will not be at this, although we've been asked to promote Redskins coach Joe Gibbs, former coach Joe Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
14th Annual Youth for Tomorrow Country Fair.
All right.
Very That'll good. Be held tomorrow, Saturday, noon until 6:30, Youth for Tomorrow Campus in Manassas. You can meet Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, it's very nice. Cool. Very nice that they're doing that.
For information, call 703-242-9819. We read that. Because, frankly, Coach Gibbs does not hate us. Right?
No, and I think he did a lot of good work out there. He really has done a lot of good work at the Youth for Tomorrow place out there, and I've seen it. It's a nice place.
And he comes on the show every once in a while, and I'll just say it again. He does not hate us.
And he lets us drive his race car.
No,
he doesn't.
Frankly, he does not hate us. So
that's the most important thing.
Important. Coach Joe Gibbs, because we went through a long period of time.
Right.
When we were very positive.
Yeah, there was a look one time at a charity event where we thought he hated us.
Coach Joe Gibbs were positive. We thought he hated us because we used to do a gay bit about him and Dan Reeves.
And then one time his wife drove by us out of the stadium and we thought he hated us then too. She thought she hated us.
He does not hate us.
Good.
If she hates us, he has to hate us. But there's this plug. Now here's Guy Burnley. Let's talk about the falling baby.
Yeah, let's. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police are still investigating that woman whose baby fell from a suspension bridge yesterday.
Dudley Do-Right!
The baby is listed in good condition, but the question remains, was the baby dropped accidentally or on purpose?
Oh, look at the condition of this baby.
It's perfect. Not a scratch on her.
It's in good shape. Police say they have learned that the mother was involved in a nasty legal battle with her estranged fifth husband.
Mommy.
And police say no one has ever fallen from that bridge before thanks to its protective netting.
Mm.
Oh, man.
There's a clue for you.
Oh, that's bad.
That's very bad.
It was very bad.
Breaking news. Two jets.
I'm holding.
Breaking news. I can keep the same sound effect.
That's right. Two jets have collided just like that in the air over Carlsbad, New Mexico. Both jets are apparently from the German Air Force. German pilots have been getting their training at Holloman Air Base for years.
Have you Germans? You would have no problem at all. Now,
watch out. I'm coming right at you, Dummkopf.
Oh, Heinrich. No, you are wrong.
Steinkopf. 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 Steinkopf.
Look. We have both survived.
Does
looks like the baby's going up the beach.
None of this has been confirmed yet. In fact, the U.S. Air Force officials have not even confirmed that all of the planes are accounted for. So there'll be more, no doubt.
You know, I just said S-head in German.
Yes, you did. And got away with it.
As far as I know.
Yeah, but not as badly as yesterday, but the stock market was down again today. The Dow closed down another 39 points.
Oh, here we go. Here, Mr. Fearmonger.
Yeah, everybody. Doomsayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Buzz could totally avoid this story. This is a non-story today.
Okay.
This is a non-story. It's down 39 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is? That is a pimple on the ass of the stock market.
It was down at one point by 100 points. In fact, a couple of times today.
Okay, but what did it close at?
Closed down 39.
Okay, is it still over 10,000?
On top of, yes, it is.
Okay, then. Okay, next story.
Okay.
Next
you know,
story.
I feel remarkably reassured by you right now.
Really?
I'm not going to worry. I worry about the stock market all the time, and now I feel calm.
Serious.
Is it still over 10,000?
Is it over 10,000? It went down 39 points today. You know, PFD.
You've made a lot of people feel better.
Well, good. Thank you. And you wanted to make a lot of people feel bad.
Well, I try.
I feel much better now. How much was the NASDAQ?
Nine. That's nine.
Ah, I feel even better than that.
What did I tell you?
And you're right.
An inconsequential nine.
Thank you, Buzz. Mocked me. If you will.
No.
Nine is fairly
nothing. Nine, and probably what those pilots said, too.
Nine, go the other way. And listen, before I die, sell all of my internet stocks.
Nine.
I heard Hank Burbank say they're going down.
Just a little correction. The mayor of New York has cut off money for a museum because of a painting of the Virgin Mary that is covered with elephant dung. Real elephant dung. Mayor Giuliani says the exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum is sick. The museum gets or got over $7 million a year from the city. In spite of the First Amendment issue, Giuliani says you don't have a right to government subsidy for desecrating somebody else's religion.
He urged
the museum's director to come to his senses.
Why would you want to put, of all things in the world, elephant dung on the Virgin Mary?
So the mayor might get on a major news organization and talk about your painting? Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
This is a traveling exhibit. It's been in London, and it's got a lot of wild things to it. They have...
Wild!
They have
I tell you, that's wild. You put some elephant poop on the Virgin Mary. It's wild.
That's right.
It's wild.
This is your modern art here.
Joe, where did you put the picture of the Virgin Mary?
Get to know Charlie.
No, you put it in the elephant cage.
Oops, no. Charlie, that was my fault, as usual.
Secret sound again.
Sure did, Charlie.
That's right.
Way to go, Joe.
The museum director says he stands by the exhibit, which also includes pigs and a decomposing cow's head suspended in tanks of formaldehyde.
Oh, very nice.
The museum chief says we're not forcing anyone to see this material. No one under 17 is permitted. The exhibit was also controversial in London, where it drew 300,000 visitors in just 3 months.
Look at that cow's head.
Bob Barker's expected to check out of a Washington, D.C. hospital tomorrow.
Bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
I've got my DNA all over the studio.
Get that out to the fans. Bob Barker will head back to L.A. on Sunday.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
That was a real... Yeah, that looked... That was
a real head clearer.
That was a satisfying sneeze.
Right. I've finally seen you in color for the first time today, Mike.
Bob Barker out of the hospital tomorrow, back toward L.A. on Sunday.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Godspeed, Bob Barker. Yeah, the legendary game show host checked into the George Washington University Hospital last week complaining of clumsiness in his right hand.
Of this.
Monday, he had surgery to clear a blocked artery that had put him at risk for stroke. Doctors say the operation went very well and that Bob will be back to work on The Price is Right in a couple of weeks.
Now, Rod, when I come back to work, we won't be playing hole-in-one or two games.
Oh, that's
right. Unless you want a putt for me.
More news and more comment coming up.
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to give you a chance to win $500 with Secret Sound Number 4.
Very exciting.
A sound that, incidentally, was already identified by staff member Joseph Ardinger, the Unabomber.
Amazing.
Very complicated.
So he got it. Why can't you?
That's right. If he can get it, you can get it.
Be the 100th caller right now. Good luck. Give you a shot at $5 if you're the 100th caller at 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Doc.
Right, Grandma Glaze?
Hey, you bless it. I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think. So what? No f***ing D?
Let's go, girl.
Now, with a delicious, nutty flavor, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, we'll get right back to Buzz's tabloid show.
I'm going.
Buzz scaring of everybody.
Fear mongering.
With his news, but first, let's do a caller 100 secret sound. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's this, please?
Hi, this is Mark from Germantown.
Mark, you are the 100th caller, sir.
No way.
Oh, way.
Why,
way. You have won the WWF Unforgiven prize pack from Media General Cable. Top event, ordered Unforgiven Sunday on pay-per-view.
Excellent.
Are you ready now for secret sound number 4?
Ready to go.
Once again, I'm blown away by the energy level of our contestants.
Are you sure you're ready to play the game?
I'm ready. I'm stuck, baby. Let's go.
Are you like that lady Betty? Are you just out of a hospital or something? What was her last name? Like?
Betty Avery, Don.
Betty Avery.
The lovely Betty Avery.
All right, sir. Secret sound number 4. I want to put no pressure on you, but I want you to know that Joe Ardinger,
yes,
who many people refer to around here as the Forrest Gump of the radio station.
They call him, you know, Slow Joe. He has gotten it. He has gotten it correctly.
He identified secret sound number 4 after hearing it on the radio one time.
That's right.
Wow.
If you can do the same, you win $500. I'll give you a free listen, okay?
Okay.
All right. This one is at no charge. Now, I'll give you one more listen, put you on the clock. Please don't answer until your 15 seconds of music is up and Mike sings like Hank Hill.
Okay, good luck to you.
Good luck.
Caller, name this noise.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? Kick off your weekend with 5 bones. $500 if you can name secret sound number 4.
Or a latch.
Pardon me?
Sounds like a latch.
A latch of what?
A door latch, a automobile hatch latch.
Oh, we're sorry.
You're the second person who wrote to guess that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Second person who wrote a guess that.
Second, baby.
Second person who wrote a guess that.
We're waiting for a reaction from this guy right here. No, sorry, sir.
We're sorry.
You're the second person in a row.
Oh, we're sorry.
To guess that. Thank you, though.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Hold on, please.
All right.
All right, smart guy.
All right, you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hey, good news. All 4 pilots in those 2 German jets that collided over New Mexico are okay.
Yeah, all right. The planes have been destroyed.
Right.
We are fine. Let's drink beer.
They all ejected the safety.
Wonderful.
Jesse, the Governor Ventura, says he wants his name taken out of the ads for a whorehouse in Nevada.
Incredible.
This is Governor Jesse Ventura. Take my face and my words off the ad for your goddamn whorehouse.
Ventura admitted he had been there in his book, I Ain't Got Time to Bleed.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But now he says...
Built by association.
Now, I ain't got time to bleed.
Now he says he'll sue the Moonlight Bunny Ranch if it doesn't immediately stop using his name.
Don't you know I'm the governor of Minnesota?
He doesn't mention the bedroom suite the ranch is named after him.
You know, it's bad if a horse is DJ ain't got time to bleed.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be
yes, sir.
News.
Yes, it is.
She might not be getting her own... thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Whatever Leah Remini called it.
Right, thank God.
I got big laughs in Blazing Saddles, but police in New York are not laughing about a man who allegedly punched one of their horses.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
James Hornacek of New Jersey.
Writing is delicious.
He says it was a case of self-defense. He was at a union protest rally, and he says the horse came at him. He said he just put up his hand to defend himself.
Mongo, don't go to town.
Prosecutors say he punched the horse in the nose and hit it repeatedly in the hindquarters. They have charged him with obstructing government administration, disorderly conduct, and attempting to injure a police animal. Could get a year in jail. And
a I didn't know those horses' hides were made of metal. Or was he hitting it with a frying pan?
He's hitting it with a frying pan, Mike.
The pan's metal.
Oh, all right.
When people put stuff in storage and they don't pay the bill and they don't come back to reclaim their stuff, the stuff gets auctioned off. A woman in Upland, California, bought the contents of one of those storage units, and she found some wedding memorabilia. Pictures, the glasses used to toast the newlyweds, the body of the groom.
What?
27-year-old Robert McGain.
Yes,
the body of the groom.
That's incredible.
Incredible!
Yes, it is.
Body of the groom.
27-year-old Robert Bork was reported missing by his mother over 2 years ago.
Bob Bork.
Police investigated and learned that it wasn't unusual for Bob to just drop out of sight.
The widow Bork.
They now believe he was murdered nearly 3 years ago, and they have arrested his 31-year-old widow Darlene on murder charges.
I say the widow Bork.
Yeah, Darlene didn't get the Bork.
If she had
cold Bork pie. Kathleen Turner would say, cold Bork pie.
Cold Bork pie.
Rosie, I speak American.
Yeah, Rosie.
Hey, Rosie.
There's your mother. There's your baby carriage.
If the widow Bork had kept up the payments on the storage compartment, Bob might still just be missing.
Oh, yeah.
There's the widow Bork.
The widow Bork needs a stroller for grade.
What?
What is that?
I don't know. I
hope she goes on TV.
See my irony.
So what, Kathleen?
Well, I talk American.
Oh.
Well, I want to find out what she can do. Hi, Rosie.
It has nothing to do with this hysterical situation.
Sum it up.
Are you more than a staring contest?
Hi, Rosie.
Wow.
Cold pork pie? Well, hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Oh, my.
The estranged wife of Viacom chief Sumner Redstone says she's hired a round-the-clock bodyguard. She says she's gotten threatening phone calls from her 76-year-old husband, who she's divorcing for infidelity. A friend of the missus. She tells the New York Post he's been livid and been calling her and making irrational threats. The friend says Mrs. Redstone is now afraid to go out alone. He is said to be angry that the divorce has gone public, that it could threaten his deal with CBS, and that his girlfriend won't have sex with him anymore until the divorce is final. In her divorce papers, Mrs. Redstone's asking for $3 billion in assets.
Tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yes, indeed. Including a controlling interest in MTV.